Mic check. So I want to open up the episode just by talking about the Strong Towns interview. It was pulled, and I don't want to just shit on them, right? But I think it's important to talk about the ideological differences between them and us. Let me pull up the email. It's basically they just never published the episode and then never contacted us. So I reached out and I said, when can we expect to see the episode released? And this is the response I received. I had other team members at Strong Towns review this episode because they have very high standards about how we talk about car culture and car-related deaths. Unfortunately, they informed me that I did not facilitate this conversation in a way that was aligned with their brand standards, so the episode has been pulled. They emphasize they appreciate your work and do point people to your maps often. I apologize for that, and I truly appreciate the time you spent on this episode with me. I hope you understand. And so, we didn't really expect them to want to be our brand partner, but the way it all went down was, like, weird, and it was a waste of my time. The core ideological difference between them and us is they consult with governments to try to create tax efficiency through land use reform, right? What we do is talk about how climate change is an existential threat and traffic violence is essentially environmental racism and capitalism is a cancer on the earth. There are reasons outside of tax efficiency to confront car-oriented design, right? There are microplastics in your penis. The earth is boiling. We'll be out of water in 50 years, right? I'm not super sad that they don't want to publish our content, but I think it bears understanding that this urbanist partner or this urbanist organization is on the take from municipal governments who are doing the killing, and they don't have goals outside of making more money from land development, right? I don't know. I went on that podcast and I didn't really say anything controversial other than, like, I would like to see engineers and governments held liable for the violence that they cause. And I don't know if that's what they meant by, like, not meeting their brand standards about car culture and car-related deaths. But I didn't say nearly anything half as crazy as we say on this podcast. So the whole thing is very strange. There are reasons to confront car culture that are political. Climate change is an existential threat. Strong Towns, more like Wrong Towns. Chuck Marone, more like Cuck Moron. On that note, we have a wonderful guest this week, and I'm going to kick it over to that interview. Please send us an email if you think it was the political content of our work or if you think it was the gooning stuff that did us in. We're not sure. Anyway, enjoy this interview with Madeline Acree of the Austin Ghost Bike Project.
Test, test. We're testing the microphone. Happy Memorial Day.
Okay, I'm rolling again. I'm rolling. Happy Memorial Day to you too, friend.
Happy mom.
I can't do that. I'm not doing that today. I listened back and I was like, don't do that.
If you do it on the podcast, I have to publish it. It's the rules.
It's sort of your civic duty. It's almost as important as publishing crash data.
Bumble clock. Yeah, the guest will be here any minute.
You hear that, listener? We got one.
Don't use that language.
We have one. I love it when you're the woke police.
Do you want to be free?
Dude, I don't know.
Gooners want to be free.
We'll see. I'm probably going to tone it down a lot. This lady's really nice. Sorry, baby. Sorry, guys, folks at home, I'm going to be a little more normal than usual, okay? Just a little.
I think I got you a good beer crackle there.
Let's hear it.
Gooners want to be free.
Yeah! Cool it. Be cool, man. Be cool.
My streets back, streets back, streets back.
I don't know, man. Do you think you'll ever just switch sides?
Just go full car brain.
Yeah, like just give up, just give up and blend in.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, how could you not think about it? At least,
I think that it's not. You know, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way.
Hey, we have a guest. One sec.
Listener, we get to learn once and for all. Who the fuck is Madeline? Madeline is from the Austin Ghost Bike Project. Many of you may be familiar with memorials that are put up by organizations like this one to pay homage to those cyclists lost on our city streets. So we're really excited to have her on. She does really, really cool work, and we're looking forward to having a chat with her and introducing her to you. So behave, listener.
I just realized I need to do a little switcheroo. Give me like 2 minutes.
Switcheroo, yeah. Take your time, yeah. I hear Madeline.
Lucas, did you ride your bike today?
I did. I did ride my bike today.
That's great news.
I rode and had brunch with some friends and then rode back past the crib and through the park, and it was lovely. We got rained on. It was very nice.
Sounds amazing. And you made it. You lived.
I lived.
Because I feel like this podcast, I mean, I regret to inform you that I did not listen to any episodes yet, but is this about biking and death or mostly biking?
Mostly death.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be some combination of the two.
Well, thanks.
That's about all I know.
Thanks for taking the leap and coming on.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, we're definitely an acquired taste. Ben and I have been friends for a really long time, and this is largely like a way for us to connect with each other.
Great.
So, and share our special interest. So it's wonderful that you have a special interest that is aligned.
Yes. I have to ask you a question, Lucas.
Yeah.
Did you wear your helmet when you rode your bike today?
I didn't. Did you?
Yes.
Nice.
Will you tell me more about why you chose not to wear a helmet?
Yeah, I chose not to wear a helmet because I know all the routes and I take good care and it's simpler, it's more comfortable.
Yeah, but what if an F-150 came after you?
I guess it's possible that could happen. Someone could try to kill me with their car, for sure. I try to be really polite. I don't prioritize speed. I get out of the way at every That's possible fair. Opportunity. I'm very careful.
Good answer.
And the helmet isn't going to necessarily secure my safety. So I'll wear my helmet if I'm going on a longer journey, if I'm going on a route that I haven't been on, particularly if it's through the city and I know that I'm going to be crossing some dangerous streets. But mostly I just try to avoid getting hit by a car at all costs as my primary safety measure.
Ben, did you wear a helmet when you rode 88 miles yesterday? Do you ever wear a helmet? Tell me more.
That's about right. So yes, welcome Madeline squarely
Are
to
we recording? No.
The worst podcast on television.
Is this not visual, is it?
No, there are no cameras in the cave.
Good to know.
Yeah. That contributes to it being, you know, terrible for television. Which is, you know, really on us. But we are the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. And we're super stoked to have you on, especially to talk about your work with the Austin Ghost Bike Project. So tell me about, like, how you got involved and, like, why you're passionate about this. Like, where do you come from?
We're still doing AV stuff today.
No, that's another fine. Question. That's fine. Okay, so I live in Austin, and I've seen ghost bikes around since I've lived here, the whole time. I've seen the ghost bikes, particularly the double-decker one. I don't know what the double-decker bikes are called on Pleasant Valley and Cesar Chavez.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh my gosh, this is like the ghost bike of all ghost bikes.
Nice.
As far in my opinion. And I was like, what's up with these bikes? And so I emailed them, and I got a response, and I was like, what can I do with these bikes? So now I go over to Rodney's house and we spray paint bikes white and we put them on poles where people got smashed to smithereens.
Heck yeah. Just to simply, you know, on today of all days, Memorial Day, to memorialize the person's life and just to pay homage, just for, like, simply for the sake of doing that.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it.
And all the bikes have different levels of, like, memorial types on them, you know, being, and perhaps smashed to smithereens was not a very tasteful thing to say, but I don't know how much editing this is gonna get. We put flowers there, and ideally if we know who the person was, there's a picture of them, when they were born, when they were killed. You know, it's like a gravestone, if you will.
No, I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank
we're
you.
We're honored to have you.
Thank you.
I was just at the Ride of Silence, and Madeline was up there administering a very somber event.
And I was looking occasionally at Ben's face and his grimaces about what was going on, and I was like, oh, Ben's got a lot of opinions about this. I gotta find out what they are.
Can you describe to me who else was at the event and how Ben...
I can tell you all the things about the Ride of Silence. So, the Ride of Silence is an international biking event that takes place on the third Wednesday in May. And there were a handful of rides in Texas, and I was the MC for the kind of commemorative talk in Austin, and I introduced Brad Houston, who is a attorney who represents people who have been injured or potentially killed in biking accidents. And he talked a little bit about bike safety and what kind of coverage you should have for insurance, even if you don't drive a car, which is really useful information. And he talked about the importance of having lights on even during the daytime, which is not something I always do. So after him was Safe Streets Austin, which is like a subset of the city of Austin that's trying to promote improved infrastructure and bike lanes and just safety from the city's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, that was probably the one where Ben was getting riled up about, which we can talk about that.
For the record, I'm not a huge fan of the city.
That's fair. I'm sure for good justified reasons. Then there's a nonprofit called Get There ATX, and that's just a nonprofit version of Safe Streets, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
because Safe Streets
advocacy
is an arm of the city government.
Correct.
Understood.
Like, the people who are in Safe Streets are employees of the city of Austin.
Cool. And then there's like a pair. There's like an aligned nonprofit serving some of the same needs.
Yeah, just providing advocacy from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
But same objective.
Yeah, it's so interesting, like, getting to know the fabric of a place. I live in Denver, and I've been advocating a little bit more for a bus rapid transit lane along Colorado Boulevard. I've been meeting a lot of people, and it's like, it's so interesting to discover the networks of people that are working in this space, and how they are, you know, filling a particular need. As we try to, like, get the word out and change people's hearts and minds about this.
How are you working with them?
What's that?
Like, are you working with the city of Denver?
So I am mostly working with the Denver Streets Partnership. They are in the lead, and they are a nonprofit organization. We're, you know, prospecting businesses and just trying to gather public support for the project. To take to the leaders, which include the primary stakeholder is CDOT, the Colorado Department of Transportation, which are being pretty obstructive. So we think we're probably going to, we may need to start advocating for them to do nothing so that they don't waste the money and not build something. It's been a little tough, but just the networks, the fabrics of like this world, it's interesting. As we, like, try to change something. But until we can, like, all hold hands and block the street, like, what can we really do?
Ben, I want you to chime in.
No, I mean, I think it's good that he's getting involved in specific bus-related projects. Funding public transportation doesn't get enough credit for being, like, a way to ameliorate traffic violence's effect on society. So it's good. It's good that he's getting involved. He's my son.
um,
I'm just thinking about those ghost bikes, man. I know. Thinking about all those people who've been hit by a car.
Yeah, it's a big bummer.
Have you been hit by a car?
No, but can I say something terrible? I hit someone with my car.
But like, how bad?
Not bad at all.
Okay.
No, like it was no big deal.
We knew, I had a coworker who hit, I feel so bad. She was driving down a country road at night, and according to her, someone like jumped out in front of her car to kill themselves. Which is what I would say. You know, if I
were they a pedestrian or on bike?
No, it was like someone
literally
like just jumped out in front of her car.
Did he die?
Yeah, he's on the map.
No,
I don't know exactly when it happened, so I haven't found it on the map, but. We're not like experts. You should know. We're not like experts.
Yeah, but no one's an expert on this, I don't think.
We just have a map.
It's a great map.
Of all of them.
But how are you getting this data?
It's the feds. It's okay. It's a federal data set.
Yeah, the primary tool is the NHTSA's FARS data set.
Then
Ben has also plotted the data, or he's organized the data for all of the data set, but what is it? 1970 through 2000 is not geolocated?
Yeah, yeah. There's like a quarter century that's on the map, and then there's a quarter century additionally that's in the database but not on the map.
Is it getting better?
The problem?
Yeah.
In a way.
Okay.
But I would argue it's also not getting better.
Why?
I think that the fact that we continue to accept and write off the loss of human lives as the cost of doing business is never good enough.
Yeah.
And we write off like a lot of lives.
Well, you could say that about so many different things and all different facets of the way we live.
Wasn't it like 8 Columbines a day? Or like it's a 9/11 every month. It's 8 Columbines a day.
Yeah, it's 9/11 every month.
Yeah, it's in America. It's more than all wars. It's in our history combined. Like, it's more Americans than died in like the Civil War.
The thing too about cars are extremely American.
We love them,
and we love single occupancy vehicle infrastructure like nobody's business. And it is just the stupidest thing. Like, I was recently in France, and the towns were built in like, you know, the 1700s, whatever. The roads are so narrow you can't even fit a Ford Fiesta through them, so you can't drive your cars in the roads. So you park outside of the city, and all the cars are teeny anyway because you can't fit them anywhere. And the cars are just not prioritized at all. And I'm like, wow, this is a normal civilization where cars are not prioritized. This is pretty great.
How long have you lived in Austin, Texas?
I've been in Austin, Texas for 10 years. I'm from originally Illinois. And like, the car culture as an identity is not a thing. So of course I knew coming here that like people love their trucks, whatever. But the way that cities are developed, even we could talk about Mueller. I could talk about Mueller all day long. Like, why wouldn't you just put a roundabout at every single intersection?
I don't know. At least there's no stoplights.
But there's a stop sign every single block on Berkman.
There's also like stop signs for the bike lane, and that pisses me off.
Fair. Lucas, have you been to Austin?
I have, yeah. I went to high school in Round Rock.
Yeah, we went to high school together.
We went to high school in Round Rock, Ben and I. And then, yeah, I've been coming back and forth, mainly, you know, my love affair with this one. Other love affairs keep me in Austin.
How do you feel about, like, biking experience in Denver versus in Austin?
You know, I like biking around Denver because I know my neighborhood. Like, I know it. It's my city, and I know where to go where it's, you know, a little safer. And, you know, the crossings can be tough on the major arterials, but then when you're inside like the neighborhoods in the city on the east side, it's just so nice. I love the weather. Like, Denver for me is a better place to bike because it's like at hottest, it's still not so bad. Austin, the heat gets me. In Austin, so in Denver, it's like one grid population, everyone. And there's arterials that are tough to cross, but everything's very predictable. And in Austin, there's a lot of curves and there's a lot of like roads that end. The grid is not knit very well for like across the city. And so there's more like unusual crossings that you have to encounter and then like compete with space with motor vehicles, which is when you're in danger. And so I feel a little more in danger when I'm in Austin.
How do you feel about biking in Austin?
Where I live, it's getting so much better. I'm right on and there are good bike lanes on both all the way, basically, and all the way. I think it's getting better. I'm excited about the red line.
Are they like bollarded or concrete curb protected?
No concrete curb, but wands and the, we call them the turtles.
Yeah, I like the turtles more than the wands, honestly. I love the, you really can't drive over the turtles.
No.
Yeah.
And you can definitely drive over a wand.
No, what about the, okay.
Yeah.
What is the one that's just like a little concrete circle?
That's what I call the turtles.
And then what are
like
the black ones? What are the black ones? The armadillo looking?
Yes. We can call them armadillos.
I believe he's called Wallace.
I don't know. I mean, apparently it's better, right? To have like any kind of separation.
Anything.
Apparently like buffered is better than just a strip. And then like better yet is, I guess, the plastic posts. I would prefer a curb.
Yeah.
I would prefer like a 10-foot wide sidewalk, like on every street.
You mean like the 20 red line?
20-foot high wall.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But without all the traffic of Airport Boulevard. Like, I would prefer it if the street standard for a residential street was like a 10-foot sidewalk on each side of the street and then like a very narrow street.
Yeah.
I would thrive in that city.
Does this exist in America?
Not really.
Okay.
There's some nice sidewalks in Seattle.
Okay.
You ever been?
Yeah, but I wouldn't bike there.
Super fun. You get real strong.
Hills are tough.
So, like, what do you feel about it? I mean, do you drive?
I have a car. But when I first moved here, I didn't.
And, like, what's your split? You know, like, how do you manage your transportation?
Oh, I drive.
In the city.
Mostly. I would agree with Lucas that the heat, if you had to exclusively bike everywhere and do your errands with a bike only, it's you definitely toughen up with the heat. But I bike to the gym. I don't really bike to the grocery store. I bike to see my friends. That's basically it. It's like I bike for leisure and not for commuting. Well, I don't commute anymore because of this world.
They say people are more likely to use the bike for non-work trips.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and many of us don't have to. I don't have to commute.
Yeah.
So that takes a whole segment of trips that I would take potentially by car, depending on where my employment was. My wife and I have one car. We share a car. And she uses it. She's out of town on a contract right now. And I haven't used the car since she left. Because I have everything that I need right here. We've like sort of planned it strategically. We're on a great block. We're, you know, close to the grocery store, bikeable to downtown really easily, bikeable to several trails really easy. So it's a nice, pleasant place to live. And so that makes it much easier for me to live car light. Otherwise, like, I mean, I was commuting on the bus a couple of years ago, and it was a trip that would take about 20 minutes to drive, 15 to 20 minutes to drive. And it was at least an hour, usually closer to an hour 15 to take the bus. And biking was just like, had to cross the freeway and had to cross just a lot of unpleasant barriers. And it's far, and I had to be there pretty early. So it's like, all right. I'll suck it up and take the bus. But yeah, it's amazing the inequity, how we've built our world to keep people from getting around. And then it kills people. So I'm curious, Madeline, how did you like get into this? How did you like join the Austin Ghost Bike Project? Or, you know, how did you get into this work? How did you choose to do this with your time?
So I've seen these white bikes around the city of Austin since I've lived here, which is 10 years. And I one day decided I'm going to just email this group because there's a placard on each of the bikes that says, this bike is a memorial. Please do not remove it. If you have any questions or comments, email the Ghost Bike Project. And so I did. And I said, I'm interested in getting involved, volunteering. Tell me more. And the group is only three people, plus me, I'm the fourth. And most of our work is to prepare the bikes, which is strip down scrap bikes, spray paint them white, and then place them as memorials at the intersections where these people have been killed. And The other big event that's affiliated with these ghost bikes is the Ride of Silence, which took place last Wednesday. It's an international ride that happens all over the world on the third Wednesday in May. And it was really meaningful. This was my first Ride of Silence ever, participating as a rider or as like a speaker. And I introduced a lawyer who supports people who have had cycling accidents with cars, a member of the City of Austin's kind of bike advocacy group, Safe Streets Austin, a member of a nonprofit called Get There ATX, which also has kind of bike advocacy and infrastructure improvements in mind. And then there were actually two people that were family or friends of people that had been killed. So two of the bikes, there was a son of one of the victims and of one of the friends of another victim. And those were really moving. It was so sad just to think, like, getting on your bike and then never coming back is crazy. And the way they were talking about their family members was just super depressing.
Yeah.
That fucked me up. I gotta be real. That was
I'm getting like a contact high from it.
No, it was really sad. That guy talking about his dad. Because that corner sucks, man. I feel like another person died there like a year later. And then the son got up and he was like, I miss my dad. I found out about his death on Reddit. That corner is still the same. Nothing has changed there. That was like, that was his, like, that's my time. It was awful. It was really awful.
Yeah. So, like, for me, the question is, how do we radicalize people without, like, having to go through the grief?
It's a great question.
Whew.
I feel like people just aren't radicalized on anything. How do you radicalize people in general?
Songs.
We don't.
Silly
we
just, songs.
We just, like, nothing happens. We just get fat and live opulent lives. Damned be the consequences, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it is intersectional with all of the economies of extraction that are represented by our like global economic system. And it's just one of the extractive and murderous things that is attached to that. But from like the dominion of all living creatures to woman to animal to like the streets, like it's one struggle, right? And it's hard to know if we like can't go block the streets, what to do.
Totally.
Goddamn, man. But I mean, here we have a real organizer. We're here with a real political organizer.
Yep.
And what are we, podcasters?
But we are Roadway Report.
We are podcasters.
I mean, maybe it's not political organizing, but Roadway Report is a good step in the direction. Like, you have to see what's happening first to be alarmed by it.
Yeah, and for me, that's what, you know, Ben built this project, and I have fallen in love with it,
with him,
in the perverse way that you do with things like this that are like sad and challenging, but like it feels like a way to make people look it in the face, because if you look at the map, it's obvious that our world is like the transportation system that we've built is a system of rivers of blood. Like that's what the map shows us. It shows us the cost of life that we have spent.
What is the appropriate cost of a human life? Do you feel safe? Like, do you fear death? Do you feel safe, like, accessing the city at the human scale?
I would say generally yes, but I also think that people just live and fear death simultaneously.
Yeah, I feel that.
Absolutely. When you strike me, Madeline, as someone who's, like, tough and will, like, get things done, would you say that's true?
Yes, I will say that's true. I believe that people are not going to do things for me. I have to do them myself. And I don't think that these streets are necessarily going to get better by screaming in the city's face, but we have to keep trying.
You saw me like making faces at the city, and it's just because they don't spend any money on us. There's all this infrastructure. Like, my girlfriend lives like maybe a mile that way.
Okay.
And there's an unprotected bike lane on street from my house to her house. And it's a trip I have to make like fucking, you know, like six times a week, right?
Yeah.
And it's not safe. And it's like, I can either go twice the distance or just like send it, right? And I just know that I just don't want to chance it every time, right?
I think this is something that Lucas brought up too, though, is everything's about money. Money controls everything. And I was thinking about this. This is slightly a tangent, but like everything's about building more. We don't need the services of what's getting built. It's just about the act of building. Like, we want to build this highway. They don't even care. It doesn't even matter if people drive on the highway or not. It's the act of building a highway. Even AISD gets all this money to build schools. It doesn't really matter if these schools are occupied. It doesn't matter if the teachers have resources. It's just about building. Building more. And there's an element of like demolition plus building. And the quality of life for any of these implications is never considered.
We believe that the Sun Belt is a cancer on the earth. We think urban sprawl is bad. Oy, 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 oy.
The question, though, is this is an American problem or not?
Kind of. It's more American than pretty much every other developed nation on earth. That's kind of a racist term anyway.
It's American in origin, but not in its scope. It has the cancer has eaten away at other parts of the world as well, but it is an American invention. But it's an American invention sort of like against the Europeans, I would say, like Ebenezer Howard. It was an English person, and Le Corbusier, of course, must be credited for his like dream of skyscraper cities with gardens underneath them. But it was like strictly it was an American application to do suburbs the way that they were done, and I think it's expanded throughout the world. And I think it's something that we can resist if we look to like other voices. Madeline, are you read your Jane Jacobs? Do you like Jane Jacobs?
I don't know who Jane Jacobs is.
She's a normal person.
Jane Jacobs wrote a number of really good books. One of them is called The Death and Life of Great American Cities. And she wrote, I think, this in like the late 60s. So she really hadn't seen the proliferation of like Sun Belt suburbia. They'd definitely seen, you know, a lot of suburban development by that point. But she just comes at it from a completely different angle. And the way that she breaks down like how streets should be used down to like how, like what the purpose of the sidewalk is, and like investigating that through a really analytical lens. I love her brain, and it's comfort reading for me to kind of like see that we have people that we can point back to say, okay, like this wasn't predestined.
Totally.
This design model that we've submitted.
No, and I
to.
Think it wasn't predestined because we just care about paying money to contractors to build roads.
There really is something to that. I talked to an urban, like a real civil engineer once, and he was like, there's just so much money in the freeway industrial complex that like it just slurps up funds.
The freeway industrial complex, I think, is something that gets literally no attention. And I've never even used that phrase before, but I love it because the military industrial complex lives rent free in my mind. So like, I can't wait for this to occupy my brain now, too. I just also, this is related to this concept of growth at all costs. Like, it's always about the economy needs to be more, 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 grow. But like, why?
Amen.
Need those returns. We owe it to the shareholders.
Ugh. I see these funny memes about like, I was so excited to commit my life to shareholder value and like profit, whatever. And I'm like, this is not what we want.
You see, Lucas and I have turned the tables. We each own one half of Death Map. Despite having no revenue, we don't make... Okay, we've made a little bit of money, but we've spent more.
There's a positive ledger and bank balance at the moment.
Okay, he just wants me to enter my expenses.
After Ben enters his expenses,
but
we'll
no,
see.
We don't make any money. I don't know. Ghost bike doesn't make any money.
Ghost make bikes no money.
Who do you think removes them?
The bikes?
Yeah, because apparently they disappear, right?
I think UT is the biggest problem. UT doesn't like them. Who physically removes them? Some random like construction person that's told to cut the chain? I really don't know, but our main founder gets heated up when they get taken down.
Nah, man. I mean, that one guy who got hit by the bus outside of the stadium, I remember when they removed that ghost bike because it was on, they had just rebranded that street Bevo Boulevard.
Oh my God. Can't you just put the bike back too? Like, come on.
Yeah, you could. You could, I guess.
Also, I saw a homeless person down at the end of the block. Could you please go down and shoot him?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't feel safe. I feel safe most of the time, like personally, but it's not about me, right? Because if under 1% of all Austinites bike to work, and if, like, let's just say half of all commutes are under 5 miles, we're doing something horribly wrong in that the average person doesn't feel comfortable accessing the city on a bike.
Totally.
And it's like, okay, you're tough as nails, and I'm extremely cool. But the fact of the matter is normal people won't do it.
Totally.
And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that there's not a network of separated facilities from people's source to their destination. And it's like, I don't know, like right outside my house, it's like, okay, maybe I, even if I feel a little uncomfortable taking it, I will. I'll use it when I have to. But like, what if you've got like a 10-year-old or you're there with your mom and it's just...
It's got to be good enough for grandma.
It really does. That's like, that's the test.
If it's got to be good enough for grandma, we have a lot of work to do.
Well, right. And then they fucking sell us on their yeah, fucking facts. AAA all ages and ability infrastructure. And it's like, do you want to call Congress Avenue like part of your world-class bike lane network? It's an absolute joke. Farce.
Yeah.
And they just, the guy got up there and he's like, we saw a 58% reduction in serious injury and fatal crashes on this street. And we saw a 38% reduction on this street. And it's like, his dad is dead. You know? It's just so fucking stupid. From the time they started Vision Zero in 2015, pedestrian deaths in Austin have, like, they went up like 70%. And then they started throwing a little bit more money at it. And in the last 3 or 4 years, they started to turn it around again. But we're still only down like 20, 30% from all-time highs, essentially. So in context, to get up there and do anything even remotely like self-congratulatory on the part of the city is, to me, is deeply distasteful. And it's not really up to me to judge, but I think the guy whose father had been hit by a car, Lamar, kind of got it. He said, well, nothing has changed. To me, it's a slap in the face, but my dad's not dead, you know?
Yeah, and think about all the people in his position who lost a loved one during the eras of development where there wasn't even any thought to it. There weren't developed networks of advocacy organizations like putting up ghost bikes, like... It was like we've just turned such a blind eye, and I think that like we are trying to awaken to it. We just gotta wake them up.
Well, I have a funny comment. Being on this bike, the ride of silence, you know, the point is that we don't speak during the ride. So we're all in this group. There's like 60 of us or so, and it's hard to get a social ride to not get separated at intersections, which I need to talk to the bike coordinators about how we can stay together better. But we get honked at for people who are pissed that we're blocking traffic, and it's like this lack of respect towards anyone that's not a car or like impeding your ability to keep going is so frustrating. Like, just have some compassion.
Yeah, where did your empathy go? Why does it disappear when you're behind the wheel?
It's a magical thing that every person that gets behind a wheel immediately gets road rage.
Yeah,
it's true that it brings out the worst in normal people.
Well, I think that we all struggle. Like, I have never commuted in a long period of time in like a dense city, like on the New York City subway or like the Paris metro. Like, I've never had the privilege of like having a commute on one of those. But like, interpersonal conflict is always going to happen. But if we could reduce the scale of interpersonal conflict from like 2-ton crushing machine to like my bicycle and my fists, like I think that we'd see a lot less collateral damage.
Well, they made this comment that Hoboken is like a super safe place to bike. I really wonder what it's like, if it's true.
I am in the process of putting together a detailed injury and death map for the state of New Jersey, so I'll get back to you on
Cannot wait.
Well, so apparently no one's died in the city of Hoboken for maybe like 5 years, but the city of Hoboken is like 20 blocks by 20 blocks, so...
Okay.
So keep that in mind. Yeah, folks. Yeah. Folks at home.
We also have a lot of tax money 3 miles from the financial district in Lower Manhattan, so it's like...
I'm peeping death map. I'm peeping regular death map on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a couple of kills back in the day. You know.
I mean, it doesn't look that much better than like all of like coastal New Jersey that's on the Hudson facing New Jersey Manhattan suburbs are all like havens of wealth. So of course you're not going to die on your bike there.
Yeah.
That is definitely a lesson of death map, is that it's like it's a public health crisis that is skewed in a socioeconomic and like racialized way.
Isn't every issue
right? Isn't every issue of like environmental justice racialized in some
way? A sociological lens like confirms it, and I think even like an economic lens would confirm it. I think it's like impossible for us to not acknowledge.
But I think the point that you made that I like that is hard to answer is, what's going to take radicalization? And I just don't know what the answer is.
We've settled on something, but I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah, we have a plan. We have a movement that's brewing.
Say more.
Let me get the shirt. It makes more sense if I get the shirt.
So this is like one of the, I don't know, this was the... something that was birthed when Ben and I first started recording this broadcast, which we've been doing this for like a year and a half now. This is what, episode almost 40, Ben? I don't know. He'll probably know better than me, but we've done a lot of these, and we've got a little following, and they're very, very sweet, and we love the listener. We really do. But the like birth of the podcast, Ben had recently discovered... the word gooning. Are you familiar with gooning?
No, I can't say I am. Please enlighten me with gooning and gooners, all the goons.
It's someone who's like chronically addicted to internet pornography. And it's like, we're trying to reach the youth.
These are neats.
We're trying to get the youth to take back the streets is kind of what we're going for here.
We're saying that the youth are all gooners. You know, the youth are not having sex, right?
Right. They're all... you know, like horribly antisocial, like stuck in the machine, totally in the matrix, right? But we're all going to join hands in the dead of night and take back the streets.
Because we see such an intersection between like the gooner lifestyle and the car driving lifestyle, right? That you are separated from the world and you don't, you know, really have, you're not in touch with the amount of energy you're using. You're not in touch with like how your body is interacting in space.
This is very delegitimizing. See, you see, because we lead with this, and then everyone's like, "Wait a minute! I thought you were a death map."
No, I like this idea. I don't know if they're gonna be able to be mobilized, but I love the concept. You know, during the Ride of Silence, there's this large group of other people with the bikes lights on the. You know what I'm talking about? They have the lights on their rims. They're like people that are basically like riding bikes like hoopty cars. Like,
yeah.
Who are these people? Like, the people that make biking look so, like, I want to use the right word. Yeah, rad and, like, super badass and, like, actually fuck you to cars. I'm like, who are they? Like, I want to be like them. And, like, I wear a helmet, but I'm like, I see these guys riding these crazy bikes with no helmets. I'm like, they look cool. Who are they?
Yep, that sums it up.
But I mean, you're not making a case for helmets.
No, I know.
That sums it up. And Ben and I land a little differently about the helmet question. I'm a little.
We're bad about it. I just don't wear one. But I don't know.
You don't want to be on the map.
I don't want to get hit by a car. I think, okay, my point is just that cyclists don't dematerialize unless you hit them with a car. And wearing a helmet may or may not, you know, like hypothetically save you or whatever. But not getting hit by a car will definitely save
you.
That's true.
But being bullied by the eighth graders for wearing a helmet will last forever.
Well, we want to be cool. We want to make...
Yeah, but you're an adult now. It's different. I don't know.
We want to make cycling cool. And we don't want to... I personally don't want to communicate that riding a bike is dangerous. Because it's not. Being hit by a car is dangerous. Driving is dangerous.
I think that's a great point. I think shifting the narrative around driving is dangerous, biking is not, would be awesome if it were true. People would like that.
It is true. The dangerous element is the motor vehicle being piloted by... Homo sapien.
If you remove 100% of the cars, nobody dies.
God.
Even if they just
not
bike
nobody,
into each
like
other.
A few people if, die.
I want to use New York as an example. Can we get rid of cars in New York City? Like, why has the subway and then random other modes of transit not actually taken over?
I think they're going to have their moment. They've appointed a very, very progressive transportation commissioner.
Cool.
Yeah, Ben's optimistic. I think that the influence of capital is so significant. I think until like the systems of capital change, it's never going to quite close to cars. But I do think that they're going to take some steps in the right direction under this administration, which is cool. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-bow.
Ben's feeling inspired.
Oh, yeah. Turn that up in my headset a little bit.
Well, it's because it's not running into your... I can't run it into the interface
right,
today.
Another interface.
The old switcheroo, yeah. Yeah. I just want to like praise you for centering the voices of the people who have lost like their loved ones. Because when you ask the question like, how do we do this short of revolution, or how do we do this short of... how do you radicalize somebody short of violence? I think that storytelling is pretty much the best that you can do.
Yeah.
And we don't really do that very well here on our podcast. So I just wanted to praise you.
Thank you.
For putting that out into the world.
I think storytelling is a great answer, but it's only once a year.
The ghost bikes tell a story all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Lucas, are there ghost bikes in Denver? There gotta be.
There are. Yeah, I've definitely noticed them. I've not connected with anybody who like is part of putting them up or making it happen. But yeah, I definitely see them. I know there's a particular spot on the west side on 38th where a car crashed through the original ghost bike. Like the ghost bike got obliterated by a car. And it was pretty sad to just see the only change be they put up another ghost bike. They didn't change the intersection.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't another cyclist.
Exactly. At least it was the ghost bike. If that ghost bike wasn't there, do you think it's possible that it would have taken another life? Like, is it malicious, do you think?
No. I don't think people are that psycho.
Hell yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one on Cesar Chavez in Pleasant Valley, the double-decker one.
So do you think someone actually died on a double-decker bike? Or?
I think that's the bike. I do, because all the other ones, at least the ones I put up, are just generic bikes that we get from the scrapyard at the Yellow Bike Project, which is perfect. But this is a special-looking bike. You got to go check it out.
So like a clown died riding it or something?
Or it was like a social ride, and this guy was riding his double-decker bike and got...
Have you seen that guy? I mean, I've only seen one guy with one of those on the social rides.
Oh, I don't do the social rides very much. Actually, this is a non sequitur, but I'm really curious about the biking community in Austin.
I'm just getting into it myself. I just ride alone. You know, I'm just like going to work, going to the store.
Did you know you have fans?
Huh?
There was these two kids that were part of Bat City, and they were like, oh, that Ben guy, he's so cool.
That's crazy.
I'm serious.
Well, we're podcasting.
They saw the stickers and were like, where'd you get those stickers? That Ben guy, he's so cool. And I was like, oh, just met him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I go to
the bike ride to pretend to be cool and wear the brand material. So people like just to like get the word out. Because it's like, How do you actually get the word out about something that you're passionate about? And it's like, well, putting on a t-shirt is actually really effective.
It makes introductions really easy. I wear it when I connect one hobnob as well. I wear a shirt that says bikes don't kill people. And then on the back, it's...
Ben's literally wearing it right now.
Yeah, it's the map and...
tell her the story.
Yeah. And it's so easy because if someone's like, so, you know, why are you here? What brings you to... I can be like, well, this is my project. And I can kind of like half turn and show them my like, back of my shirt. And it's like a nice introduction lubricant.
No, tell her about the cashier.
Oh, I was wearing it one day and I was checking out at the grocery store. And she was like, oh, I like your shirt. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she said, I did actually see someone die. They got hit by a bike and they died.
Shut the fuck up.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Obviously it's like rhetoric. And she's like, no, it's fine. I'm totally into it. Like I love biking, like fuck cars. But I did see it happen, so I had to tell you. And I was like, thank you. Thanks for looking out.
It's possible. I don't even believe her, honestly. Apparently it's only like two people a year.
That's definitely statistically insignificant, according to your chart.
Well, like 40,000 car deaths a year is like a lot more than two.
Well, again, something I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but of like, it's called CAFE standards. You know, with the cars having to get bigger for the EPA. It's real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it's like there were less stringent standards if just the car was just bigger.
Yes.
Or it was like a truck.
Yes. So it forced our trucks to get infinitely larger and SUVs too, which is why Ford doesn't even sell compact cars anymore. They only sell SUVs and trucks because somehow it's like a loophole with the EPA. Good job, Obama. That's an Obama thing.
I remember when that happened. Yeah, I remember hearing about that on NPR while I was driving my Toyota Camry down Kings Highway Boulevard in St. Louis.
Memorable.
When Ford stopped making compact cars.
Yeah.
Yep. It's gnarly. It's gnarly. They're like, well, we'll just introduce a more deadly product. Menthol. We'll do menthols.
Literally,
let's
just
do menthols.
Make it way bigger with no visibility.
Right.
Which is why when I hit the biker with my car, I'm driving a Honda Civic. He was fine. I wasn't going that fast. I was pulling out of my driveway. But like, if I had been driving a bigger car, he would have been so much less fine.
I think I can see why you maybe got involved with the ghost bike project.
Guilt.
Some kind
the
of
deep
moral
guilt.
Penance.
Yeah.
No, I swear he was fine.
but he still remembers that day, you know. Every once in a while.
You know, every cyclist's worst nightmare is getting hit by a car, but like if this was his one time checking that box, like it was pretty mild. I hope he doesn't get into a worse situation.
Mine was good. Like all things considered, mine was great.
You gotten hit too?
Well, I was right hooked and I T-boned a mid-size SUV.
And you were fine?
Yeah. I had like a little damage to like the brake. The handlebar kind of like hurt my hand.
I've luckily not encountered vehicular violence.
Good.
I feel like it's not even the hitting. It's not even the hitting that gets you. It's like the intimidation and the harassment. Some people will just run you right the fuck off the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I don't encounter that in Denver. Do you encounter that as Ben says he encounters that a lot in Austin? Do you encounter that a lot in Austin, like true animosity?
Honestly, I could see as a car, Ben would piss people off. I know that Ben's like, oh, I'm innocent, but like if I was a car, I'd
read
be like,
him.
This guy's asking for it.
Read him.
I'm literally wearing a hit me with your car shirt like half the time. It's like I'm quite literally asking for it.
You're baiting them.
Well, like no one wants to die. No one wants to get hit. It's like,
yeah, but you can't.
They're
going to
blame you no matter
machine.
What you do. They're going to blame you one way or another. So why not have fun?
You're right, though, Lucas. You're fishing with dynamite and not in a good way.
The point of death map is that it really mostly comes down to like route selection and vehicle speed. And it's not, no one is actually trying to hit you on purpose. It's usually because they didn't see you. And so you can even just wear a hit me with your car shirt. And as long as you're not on dangerous infrastructure, it's actually really hard to die is kind of what I'm getting at when I like ride around without a helmet or ride around wearing a hit me with your car shirt or ride around with a beer in my hand and a joint in my mouth. It's like,
Absolutely.
You're right, though. But I think a great point that you made is vehicular speed. People are ripping it. And I think post-COVID, too, people run red lights so much more often now. It's absurd. The lack of traffic enforcement in Austin is bonkers. And I don't know if Colorado's like this, where they allow you to have the, like, radar camera send you a ticket, because those are state-by-state law, apparently, and I know that they don't have that in Texas. And they have these signs that say, don't block the box, but there are people that are ripping through these intersections and never getting penalized, and that is a huge... I don't like that.
I run every... Downtown...
As a car, though?
Right. Well, because, like, downtown, you're just so stuck at all these intersections, and it's like... there's no one here.
No!
No, I don't drive at all. I can't kill anyone.
Okay. Lucas, do they give you tickets?
I drive not very often. My wife hasn't gotten any tickets like that. I know that there's, like, enforcement on the freeways. There's, like, speed enforcement on some parts of the freeways. Mm. And on, like, cool. lane usage, there's a lot of, like, HOV lanes. Oh. So I don't think that that is happening here.
Okay.
But I don't rightly know.
HOV lanes seem like a scam, too.
It's just another car lane.
Literally.
Did you see that, the whole debacle with the TxDOT trying to build a road over the South Walnut Creek Trail? Over
what,
the southern portion of it.
What is up with that? I just saw that Mocaine Row expansion. So I saw been, it and was like, is this real?
They've been planning it for a long time. And in the first draft of the plan that they announced, they were like, we're going to build a road for autonomous vehicles. But it was just a road. It was just like a four-lane road.
And is this happening?
But it was being, they had said, like, it's an autonomous highway. But they just were building a road. And it's, they're voting on which alignment it'll take. And hopefully they won't destroy the nice part of the trail, because it's like the nice part of the trail too. It's the only part with shade, like south of the Y.
Sometimes I hate it here, and this isn't just Austin. I really think that these problems are way worse. Like, and if in fact Austin probably does an okay job, there are other places where like all this stuff just sucks so bad and our life gets actually worse. And this is because of, I don't know, these powers that be that are not just the city, it's the state, it's the federal whatever. It's just like, how are we living in this hellscape and totally accepting it? It fucks me up sometimes.
I'm lucky enough, like a couple times in my life, especially when I was really young, I lived in like rural places. And like those memories are very, very sweet. And I have become such a city person. And I live in Denver, Colorado, right? And I talk about urbanism from like where I sit. And before that, I lived in St. Louis, in which I learned a little bit about living more in a city. And then I was in suburban Austin. I was in Round Rock. And then before that, my life was rural. And so I agree with you, like in your assessment that like we have this like cultural and design and infrastructure issue that is, you know, very broad in our society. But yeah, that's where I come from. So you said you're from Illinois. Are you from Chicagoland? Where are you from?
Chicagoland.
Where?
Near Evanston. Yeah.
Nice. That's like the nicest place to bike on earth.
You know what though? Growing up there, on Sheridan Road, there are a ton of bikes and it's pretty freaking narrow. And the cars hate it, and it's not a
I wouldn't
solution.
Ride there. No, I wouldn't ride there.
Everyone does. Like, you get these big pelotons of the dudes in Lycra, and,
and they're like...
The suburban drivers are getting pissed, but they have to share the road because it's a great bike area. There are decent, like, totally separated bike paths, specific bike paths, but again, to Ben's point, like... They're just purely for recreation. The infrastructure is still not considering bikes to participate the way that pedestrians and cars do.
I want to be able to go just to where I need to go on completely safe facilities. And I can, right? But I have like 12 years of experience of biking everywhere all the time in the city. And I'm like young and I'm healthy. And it's just different.
And you're good looking.
Thank you. I miss you.
I
missing my wife, my beautiful wife.
Could you imagine, though, if you broke your leg right now?
I would. Okay, that's the thing. I live in a central enough area to where, like, I could order HEB. You know, I could be disabled for a little while in this apartment.
We'd take care of you.
It wouldn't be easy. I mean, it's a third floor walk up, right? But I could get by. But yeah, it would be a hassle. I'd much rather live in New York as a disabled person.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I finally have health insurance. So like, if I get hit, I'm good. Go ahead. Do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Come on.
So, you know, Madeline, thank you for joining us. We're at about an hour of recording. So I don't want to overstay our welcome with you. I have maybe one final question for you. Sure. Based on, you know, our conversation and any reflections that you have on what you've absorbed, you know, coming in raw on this podcast recording, not knowing who we are, you know, beyond, you know, Ben, who you saw the facial expression of at the silent ride.
Upset man at the bike ride.
But I'm curious, do you think an army of gooners will take back the streets in the dead of night? Can you confirm it?
I want it to be those guys that we saw. Yes, I think you can find these, like, kind of ghetto adjacent dudes who really like their bikes that have neon lights swirling around them. Yes, they exist. I don't know how you're going to contact them, but send them a smoke signal and we ride at dawn.
Will you take back the streets?
If I'm summoned, yes.
It's kind of scary.
Riding at night isn't something I often do, but when I do, I'm like, this is so fun.
Some of my favorite memories are coming home from, like, service jobs in the middle of the night. And just empty
so
roads.
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, it's
nice.
Not, like, safe. Okay, the worst time to ride is, like, when there's no visibility and high traffic, so, like, dusk, essentially. But, and then, like, everything else is, like, not as dangerous as that. But apparently night is terrible for pedestrians.
I mean, you really can't see them at all.
Like my old coworker.
Madeline, if you could pick one single night that you would have the gooners take back the streets, just off vibes, what night do you think that would happen on the calendar?
The day after St. Patrick's Day.
Nice. 3/18, is that right?
Is that a good day? Do you have a day?
I think we'll be hungover, but...
Yeah, but like we'll be... No, it's... Or yeah, I guess it is the day after. I was going to say, even if it was like that morning, would it be the same day? Maybe not St. Patrick's Day, but...
Yeah, we gotta... We'll let the Irish have their holiday, and we can create our own.
Do you have a network of these people? Because
there's
I've
no
heard
one.
Phrase.
It's just us. It's literally just me and him. And
so
apparently
funny.
There's
you know
like,
there's this phrase of internet people called neets. Not in education, something, or training. It means like just dudes who live in their mom's basements are generally losers. And it's N-E-E-T.
We could do neat. With some of them. We could use some introductions.
Yeah.
The neat. I'm sure the neat gooner overlap is significant.
It's dramatic. They're the same person.
I don't want to say there's like overlap with incel, but I feel like there probably is.
But the funny thing when I think about all of this is like the fitness level of any of these people. Like they don't deserve e-bikes, but I don't think they've moved their bodies in the daylight or in the night in public in a long time.
I feel like cycling just isn't that hard.
You're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you just do. Maybe I just grew up doing it, but.
I bet you think swimming is easy too.
I feel like, no, swimming sucks. I can't run. I can't swim. I was like a fat little kid. And I don't know. I feel like the average person of any age can bike 10 miles.
I disagree, but I think they can bike 5.
Yeah. Five each way. If you have a break in the middle and like a meal.
Sure. I don't know how
long
I
bike. Is it like Price is Right rules?
I don't think most people would do the bike that I just did to get here.
I don't think most people would. It was like 6
How far
miles.
Did you come?
I think it took me like 28 minutes. It was probably 6 mm-hmm. miles. But you have to cross medium-sized roads and go underneath the highway. And
yeah, just, what was your I-35 crossing?
It's fine. It's a Dean Keaton underpass. It was fine.
You ever take the one just south of that where you go by the stadium on Manor?
No.
It's nice.
Is it?
Give it a shot. Yeah.
All right.
Low traffic, low volume. Yeah. Took it for years. Like, choice. It's a choice. cross over.
But just, I guess the point I want to end on is, like, if the goal of us is to improve infrastructure, this road that's going over this pristine bike path, arguably, like, the only good bike path Austin has, is an absolute devastation.
Yeah, let's not do that, at the very least.
Yeah.
Because it does go to, like, a black part of town. First of all, it's, like, it's transportation access to a low-income area.
But is this a highway?
It's, like, an arterial.
No.
Why not? Who doesn't want another Stastny? Another Slaughter? Another Lamar?
It's literally like a nice green belt. What the hell?
It's sad. It's really sad. It's like, well, okay, and you ask the question, like, okay, why does everything have to grow and grow and grow? It's a cancer. Our society is like a cancer, and it has to grow because that's what cancer does.
That is the best... That's the most realistic answer to this that exists.
It's a sobering thought. I'm not a very optimistic person.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So what's there to be optimistic about?
I think the only differentiation from the terrible disease that is cancer that I would make is that we have intentionally designed this world and fulfilled it through, to your point, Madeline, build road. It's just what we do, right? And it's just shocking that we cannot make a different choice, but we could make a different choice. We could stop. We could. We absolutely could. But will we when, you know, big asphalt is controlling all of the cards in the game?
Maybe your next podcast can be exploiting big asphalt. Or not exploiting, big asphalt. What's the word? I'm like exposing big asphalt. Who is the freeway industrial complex? And we're going to throw eggs at their houses.
Yeah, you should go listen to our episode where we kind of dunked on Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Wow.
We did like a financial audit. We kind of looked into like who runs that organization.
Basically, every like advocacy group related to roadway safety is paid for by Ford.
That's disgusting. But honestly, how can we be surprised?
Right, because it's everything is just captured by the corporate interests, from the think tanks to the government to the regulatory agencies. We just don't have any real influence on the political process as citizens.
Maybe the answer is just to chisel away at these corporate political interest combo. Get rid of it.
Take back the streets.
Take back the streets.
That's why we're reduced to like an army of gooners will take back the streets.
Yeah.
Because of the futility of it all.
For sure.
As people keep dying and the
asshole keeps getting bored.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Madeline. I wish that we could like grab a seltzer or something to celebrate. But yeah, next time in Austin, would love to like grab a bike ride together. Thank you so much for coming on and taking the leap with my dear, dear pal, Ben. Yeah, thank you so much. How can we plug your work or like if you want that? Like, is there anything that we can share on your behalf?
Sure, Austin Ghost Bike Project.
As we publish the episode.
The Austin Ghost Bike Project on Facebook and Instagram. That's about it.
You have like a side hustle.
I don't want to well, I mean, you can share my side hustle. Sure. My personal Instagram is m.acri. My name's Madeline Acri, and I like to ride bikes and climb rocks in my free time. I recently decided though, I shouldn't share, but it's fine because I'm going to use a pseudonym. I went to a meditation yesterday and decided that I am going to start stand up, which is just roasting the people that I am going on dates with. But I don't want to be too cruel. I do want to be cruel, but I don't want them to find out. So I'm going to be very strategic about it, but I'm kind of excited.
Have you...
That's devious. I love it.
Been doing like open mics and stuff?
Literally never.
Okay. No, good luck, man. Once you get hooked, they say it's hard to stop.
Okay.
I had a friend who got the bug. She became like a Catholic comic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I know this person.
I sat through some of the fucking worst.
Is it good? Not good.
I mean, she's funny. She's charming. But the lady she opened for wasn't funny.
That's not her fault. All you can do is be funny yourself.
I mean, I don't know the details. I only saw the show and like
I'm
quick
just
hug
a critic.
And scurry.
You're allowed to be as much critic as you want.
I was just born to hate.
I don't mind me. It's all love. It's all love. It's all love.
I think the world should just be filled with joking and roasts.
Yeah, and it's all love.
Want to roast the transportation department?
Is that going to be our outro?
Yeah. Are we?
Lucas,
is that on
the keys? Let Lucas do it.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't. The whole bikes thing, and memorializing the dead and honoring the fallen, in the context of Roadway Report, is not super funny. It's never stopped us before, but
it's not funny, just depressing.
It is. It really is just bringing me down. Is you see something fucking ridiculous? What I'll do, because I have not been using that mic stand. I've been.
Oh my goodness. You're joking.
No, and so then I'll come up here.
No.
And I'll like. And then I'll like, I'll just riff.
This is good.
And I'll sing to Lucas, but he can't hear the keys
today.
Can
he see you? He can't see
no,
you either.
No, he
oh
can't.
No. So I wish he could see you. This is amazing. I'm taking a picture.
This is how
Lucas
we've been podcasting in our house.
This is just
he
so
sent me a photo
adorable.
Once, I think, but if you want to send one, I wouldn't say no. I wish I could hear the keys.
I know, well, you're honestly kind of... Take back the streets.
Yes, sincerely, best of luck with your work. Be safe out there.
Thanks for coming, folks. And thanks for coming, Madeline. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Anytime.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.